各位网上听众，你哋好，我系袁大明，好高兴咧，今日又能够同大家一齐探讨一啲近日香港发生嘅事情，或者正在困扰香港嘅问题。我哋香港出路网上电台嘅节目嘅目的咧，系希望为香港寻找一条出路，能够真真正正解决香港面对嘅问题。咁我哋唔系希望咧，系只系同大家一齐大肆批评下政府啊、某机构或者某人对某事处理得唔好，大家发泄一番就算。我哋希望咧系能够咧深入啲讨论问题嘅根源啦，了解问题嘅来龙去脉。咁最后咧提出一啲具体性嘅解决方法，建议我哋每个人喺呢种情况之下咧，其实可以做啲咩嘢咧？咁简单嚟讲，如果你系特首或者嗰位负责人，喺当时嘅处境之下咧，你会点样去处理嗰件事？好啦，其实我哋今日嘅节目咧，可以话咧系延续我哋吓过去两次所讲嘅，即系点样令香港更好。咁其实我哋都大家都知道啦，喺我参选嘅政纲里面咧，有好详细咧系即系讨论咗大概十二个范畴嘅。咁但系具体方面咧，我哋始终系一本32、34页嘅书仔里面咧，唔可以好详尽解释晒嘅。咁其实好多我哋可以做嘅嘢咧，我哋系应该点样具体去做咧，可以令到香港变得更好咧？咁我上一次咧都开始讲及到咧，即系公平贸易啦、社区发展啊，同埋行人专用区嘅咁。咁其實講起嚟講咧，即係其實我哋而家今日想所講嘅課題咧，係可以話咧解決咗我哋政綱裏面所提及嘅貧窮方面嗰個問題啦、環境嘅保護嘅問題啦、藝術文化、經濟社區發展同埋休閒設施，可以咁講咧，係簡簡單單係講行人專用區呢度咧，其實咧已經涉及咧我哋政綱裏面講好多好多方面嘅範疇嘅。好啦，咁今晚咧除咗我哋一向有李永康啦、黃岸賢啦，咁我亦都請咗兩位嘉賓啦，其中一位 Bella 啦 ，Bella 葉咧，你上次你都大家都聽過佢同我哋喺呢方面同大家傾談噶啦。咁仲有一位咧，咁叫做Bobsy。咁Bobsy咧，其實香港人咧，我諗喺外國人嘅團體裏面咧，佢應該都好多人知嘅。咁佢嚟到喺亞洲咧，佢都成20多年嘅。咁佢本來咧係佢一個可以話英籍人士啦。咁喺秘魯黎巴嫩嗰度長大嘅嚇。咁但係咧佢就嚟到香港都成廿幾年歷史噶啦。咁我認識 Bobsy 咧都好多年噶啦。佢曾經咧喺嚟到嗰度咧有一間餐館啦。咁係專門係俾嗰啲素食嘅。但唔單止淨係素食，佢同埋嗰啲食物咧，通常咧係盡量揾一啲有機嘅同埋完整嘅素食嘅西式嘅素食餐館。咁香港嚟講咧，如果你真係想去有機會即係嘗試到呢一類嘅西式嘅素食館咧，差唔多咧都係佢嗰間。咁好彩啦，佢最近咧就嚟去中環咧，就開咗另一間叫做 Live 嘅 Live Cafe 咧。都係同喺嚟到嗰間嘅好相似嘅，都係用一個有機嘅素食嘅完整嘅然後嘅材料做出嚟嘅有機食物咁。咁佢嗰個餐廳有啲好特色嘅地方咧，即係佢以前叫做 bookworm， 點解叫 bookworm 咧？就因為入面咧好多書嘅，好多書俾你去睇嘅。咁喺香港亦都係噶，喺嗰個中環嗰、那個喺個行人電梯上去嗰度啦，咁。在邊那裡的，那他就開了這間叫 Live 的 Cafe， 那很多香港的即外籍人士呢都很熟的了，那要結識多一些這類的即是同聲同氣的綠色的人物呢，基本上呢 Live Cafe is the place to go， 你就會去見到。好啦，那為什麼呢 Bobsy 呢就會今晚來跟我們分享呢，因為原來 Bobsy 最近呢是 在遇到一位在哥倫比亞Bogota 哥倫比亞呢是包括一位市長嚟嘅。咁原來呢我哋曾經所講嘅行人專用區呢，始終香港呢係發展得係好初段嘅。即係我哋知道有，咁但係呢係點樣用法呢，咁我哋都唔係話即係唔係好多啲活動喺個行人專用區度嘅。但喺外國呢，行人專用區呢其實我上次都提及啦，我去到乜嘢嘅國家呢就先溫哥華又好 ,Sydney 又好 ,Melbourne 又好倫敦又好，你都睇到呢所有大城市裏面呢都有好多呢啲行人專用區呢係喺行人專好多好多嘢係原來係可以睇得到嘅。咁好啦，咁 Bobsy 呢就今日就同我哋分享一下啦吓，佢最近咧喺嗰一位哥倫比亞嘅市長咧，波哥塔嘅嗰位 Mayor 咧，咁佢就講過佢喺當地嘅經驗嘅。So, Bob, we like to know what is you know the story that you hear from this mayor from Bogota, Colombia, about, you know, their experience with the pedestrian area. You know, in Hong Kong, you know, it's very rudimentary, you know, compared to most countries. So how can that be, better developed?
A week ago, the American Institute of Architects invited Dr. Enrique, who was a former mayor of Bogota in Colombia, and he was invited to share his experience, his first-hand experience, in pedestrianizing large sections of Bogota, the capital city of Colombia. And he gave a very passionate and enlivened speech about the concept of pedestrianization. And it was a full house, and there was people from all walks of life, a lot of architects, engineers, designers, town planners. Sadly, there weren't many people from the government, but this was a very timely message. And within the 3 years of him being mayor of Bogota, he literally transformed the city into a city with a strong presence of pedestrianization. They had no previous concept of pedestrianization in that city, and as a result, pollution was lessened, people's happiness levels increased. It was a major transformation for the city. And he shared this with us, and his angle, in a nutshell, is that every major city in the world is moving towards pedestrianization. Every city that can call itself a class city of any caliber is moving towards pedestrianization. And in a nutshell, he was saying this is the way forwards. He gave some very good examples of different cities around the world and how they're pedestrianized and how some of the challenges they've had. But overall, it's just positive. It's the way forwards. Hong Kong seems to be the exception. As a world-class city, we don't have a downtown area. We don't have an area that could be called a pedestrian area, which is an area for pedestrians, as opposed to an area for cars or vehicles. And this is quite sad, actually. So it is my hope, and I believe this hope is shared by many people, that we could have an area in Hong Kong which is for people. An area for people to enjoy, for kids to walk around safely, without having to worry about cars, without having to worry about excessive pollution. An area where people can just be humans in. And this, of course, is very good for the community because it encourages interaction with people, it encourages a healthy community. It's very good for businesses because it attracts more people, therefore attracts more business. And an area which I think could really do with pedestrianizing is Soho. Now, this is an area that is moving towards pedestrianization organically because of the escalator. So a lot of people are using this escalator up and down. And as a result, the area Soho has grown around this escalator. And as we all know, Soho is a major tourist attraction. It's a mecca, if you like, for cafes, restaurants. So it could naturally be designed, developed towards pedestrianization in a very inexpensive, unobtrusive, simple way. And if so, this would have major impacts on the entire Hong Kong community.
Now, because interestingly, when you talk about the particular area in Soho, right, and why it developed into a pedestrian area, it's almost like organically, but in some way it has a lot to do with the escalator. Because escalator carry people, not car. Right? So, I mean, if you know the area, it's kind of a hilly area. You know, there's not many large span of flat surfaces in the area. But you need people to move around. So escalators serve that particular purpose. Now, in Bogota, what I mean, how do they use this pedestrian space? Is that the way we traditionally use people to sell different kind of snack food and street performers? Did the mayor elaborate on that?
He didn't go into so much detail. He showed some slides. Basically, it's been a big success for the bicycle.
Bicycles.
Now, of course, China has a long tradition of bicycles.
They discourage that, though.
But now the bicycle is becoming the second-hand citizen, if you like, and cars are becoming the first-hand citizen. But the rest of the world is moving towards bicycles. In Europe, the sales of bicycles are increasing. More and more people are riding bicycles because it's healthier, it's more eco-friendly. It's a pleasant way to move around. And likewise in Bogota, the bicycle is reigning now. It's becoming king again. And of course, public transports, like some buses, they have bus routes and some tram routes as well.
Right.
So it's an eco-friendly, pollution-less area, hence the attraction for people. And I believe we could do the same in Soho by creating an area where people could sit on the streets, enjoying many, many restaurants and cafes that are springing up in Soho. So these restaurants can go al fresco, and people can enjoy the outdoors without having to worry about inhaling smoke from cars and delivery trucks. I mean, anyone who's visited Soho recently can sympathize that it's very difficult to walk around the streets of Soho, Staunton Street, Elgin Street. The pavements are very narrow. They're not designed for people. So you're walking with one foot on the pavement, one foot on the roads, and you're dodging taxis and trucks. Two nights ago, I was walking in Soho with some friends, and I was talking to my friend and saying, any day now, somebody's going to get run over. This is serious. Within minutes of me having said this, this taxi almost ran over the person behind me. And they were shouting at each other. And well, it wasn't the taxi's fault, and it wasn't the person's fault.
Yeah.
It was neither of them's fault, but you know, we should create an area, a small area, as an experiment for people. This way we can have street theater, we can have street furniture, we can plant some trees, we can have some benches, we can have al fresco dining, we can even have a farmer's market.
Now,
once
when
a
you
week, perhaps.
Bossy, I know there's a place in Hong Kong which fulfills all your criteria. It's in Changzhou. Really? Yeah.
Big. Somewhere in Stanley, I think.
But
Stanley
not
is
as big as Changzhou. Changzhou is an island. The whole island
also
is
also, don't forget Lama Island as well.
Yeah.
Yongshuan.
Yes, but not as big as Changzhou. And the shops, the varieties of the shops are not as good as Changzhou.
But how will you say the difference? I think you must...
There's a fundamental difference. There's a huge difference. Chungchou and Yongshuan and Lama Island and Pingchau, these are islands, outlying islands, where people go to relax for the weekend, to get away. But a downtown area is an area downtown in the city that can be enjoyed at any time by the locals, by tourists. And every major city needs an area for people without cars. Why not? You know, if 100% of the city is for cars, why not dedicate 5% for people? And if you look at Soho, Soho is going in that direction naturally and organically. There are a lot of boutiques opening up, small restaurants, small cafes. You've got the escalator. So it's not like we have to reinvent the wheel. It's happening that way anyway. So I think it'd be a question of where, if the government gives an inch, the people will give a mile. It's growing organically in that way. And it's also about conservation. It's about conserving a lot of the old buildings that already exist in Soho. Some of them in the Soho area, some of them are very unique.
Yeah.
There's a row of tenement buildings, about 15 buildings, and I think they're the last standing buildings of their kind in Hong Kong. Now, these should not be demolished. They should be handed over to the private sector, and they could be developed into beautiful buildings to be enjoyed by one and all.
Yeah, I understand some buildings are going to, I mean, they're going to be, okay, darker and darker. Okay, actually, this is about pollution. But actually, I'm just thinking that, okay, the Hong Kong economy is thriving because of the economy, okay? Okay, because they're just going to round and round, okay, for very high, okay, for very high velocity. Okay, if you are going to, okay, if you are going to halt it, okay, what are you going to compensate it? That's what all the, okay, that's what all the commercials, they're worrying about, okay? Because Hong Kong is relying on the economy, okay? That means generate the income, generate the source of income of, okay, of getting everything, okay, into it. For example, okay, selling land, selling a lot of, to get on with the industrial estates, okay, a lot of things. Okay, what are you going to compensate on it? Okay, on the loss, because they're just thinking, okay, this is not compensatable, okay? Some men maybe think about it, okay? What are you going to think about it?
Well, the idea of pedestrianizing, or anywhere in the world, doesn't matter, east, west, north, south, wherever there's been pedestrianization, the economy has boomed. There's been an increase in business. It's very good for business. It's very good for the commercial, if you like. So it'll attract tourists, it'll attract local business. It'll be a very attractive option on every level. And I can't really see many people objecting, because this is a win-win scenario for the private sector, the government sector, the tourist sector. But above all, it is giving back to the community an area for the people, not for the cars. So another very interesting thing that Professor Enrique from Colombia mentioned, he said, cars are infringing on human rights. Mm-hmm. The car is infringing on the human rights. Because next to the car, the human cannot compete. And he used the psychology with children. If you say in a room full of children, watch out, a car, the children are going to jump, they're going to be scared. But if you said, watch out a bicycle, or watch out a tree, there will be no reaction from the child. Mm-hmm. Why is this?
There are a few streets, especially in Mong Kok, and I think one outside our district, and they broadcast in the evening, and over the night, and people can walk around.
Very successful too.
And you think, but it's not what you are thinking of pedestrian, because they can't plant trees there, and the car still going on during the daytime. Mm. So it's only not what you are saying.
Well, pedestrian area, for example, we're talking about Soho. You have to allow emergency vehicles to come in, police, fire, ambulance. In when you pedestrianize a place, you don't stop cars coming in. Goods have to be delivered to the restaurants, to the cafes, to the businesses. So you allow cars to come in the quiet times, say between 2 a.m. and 8 a.m. in the morning. All deliveries, all goods can be delivered. But emergency access should always be available 24 hours. And that means there is a section of the street which is clearly zoned as emergency. So cafes cannot put furniture there.
So, but except this restricted area, small piece of area, the whole area is not car allowed 24 hours.
Correct.
That is what you mean by pedestrian.
Correct.
But the street in Mong Kok is not. And during the daytime, the vehicle is
for vehicle. Time.
That is like a half measure. It's are we doing it, are we not doing it? There is no commitment. You either commit or you don't.
No, I was just in the Mong Kok pedestrian zone today
at
4 o'clock daytime. And it is it has no car. It is pedestrianized.
Full of people only.
Full of people only, yes, people only. Different kind of people doing whatever activities, promotions, commercials. But this is another problem in Hong Kong. I think the government is thinking about cancelling the Mong Kok pedestrian zone, because it says the original idea is to let people to walk. But now all sorts of things are going on, like all kind of actions.
They're just thinking like a passageway for people to walk through?
Yes. And so like street performers is not welcome by this definition. Yes, and so they are thinking about cancelling. This is just the news in June, released in June, so just 1 month ago. Yes.
So the idea was traffic control only.
Well, I'm sorry that I think there's a lot of difficulties of cancelling this kind of pedestrian zone, because first of all, okay, if you are just cancelling the pedestrian zones, there are lots of people that are affected by the cancelling of this pedestrian zone, because you know, the performers first of all, and also those who are benefited from it. Okay, do you know a lot of people actually walk along the street freely, along the pedestrian zone, apart from just walk along the pedestrian zone with cars, I think there's a kind of difficulties between it. But I think at least the idea of pedestrian zones, if the Hong Kong government is not going to preserve it, it will be a lot more problem about it. And it's not about the environmental problem. It's about the freedom of people of going along the pedestrian zone, of doing whatever they want. Okay, you should enable people to have a zone of doing whatever they want, Okay, this is about the freedom of the people. Mm. Okay, that's really about that issue. And then for environmental issue, I think you should explore a lot of places for the people to really going on for the environmental zones, to walk along and to not allow the cars to go on. Okay, like the Yoho Town in Yuen Long, or somewhere else, and then you invent this kind of zones, and then it will really benefit the environment. Sure. I think that's true.
Of course, yeah. And it can grow organically and creatively and culturally, and I can see only positive coming out of pedestrianizing. We're not talking about pedestrianizing all of Hong Kong, we're just talking about pedestrianizing one small area and see how it goes, as it starts.
The most important point of pedestrianization is it increases human contacts.
Mm.
It bonds people together.
Mm.
Imagine there's a road between you and me.
Mm.
And on the road, there's car rushing in and out. You can't have any human contact.
Exactly.
So, if I give you a map, Bobby, you pick up any place you like from Hong Kong. Do you have any idea which is the best place to fulfill your wishes, to fulfill your dreams?
Soho.
Soho.
Because of the current infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So to pedestrianize Soho would require minimum efforts compared to pedestrianizing other areas. Because either side of Soho you have two historical buildings which are being preserved, or at least the old Bailey Police Station and the Magistrate and the old prison, Victoria Prison, has been preserved. And that is to be developed for something for the people in a cultural, creative way. That's already happening. Now just to the side of that, you have Soho, you have Staunton Street, you have Elgin Street. And on the other side, you have the old police married quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it hasn't been decided yet what's happening with these old police married quarters, but there's talk, the most recent talk is about a hotel being developed there. So sandwiched in between these two historical buildings, you've got Soho. You've got what I call the Soho Loop, which is Staunton Street, Elgin Street, full of cafes and restaurants and bars, which can easily go al fresco. And even further, I recently published an article called The Green Heart for Central, which was published in Positive News. It's about linking the area I just described, Soho, with the street markets, the Graham Street Market, and with another green corridor going all the way down to Victoria Harbour, which is to be redesigned. So you can have green corridors coming down, following the escalator, parallel to the escalator, running through the markets all the way down to Victoria Harbour. And this whole area could become for the people.
I have been to Soho a few times, but I haven't driven through the area. How many streets are involved there? I mean, would some of the street be an essential passageway for people to go up to the mid-level? I mean, can we really block it off practically? or
no, not in the Soho, not by closing Elgin Street and Staunton Street.
Two streets. Okay.
It forms like a loop. And either side you've got Aberdeen Street, which is a thoroughway.
Okay.
It needs to be kept open.
Mm.
And then on this side you've got Old Bailey Street.
So it's going down, vertically
going down,
right?
Yes. Both streets go down, not up. There is one street that comes up from Hollywood Road, and it comes up and it hooks into Staunton Street. Now, this could be a bit of a challenge, but it can be overcome by creating pedestrian bridges over these streets.
So you
needn't completely block the traffic just on that section.
Right.
And then, of course, deliveries, pickups, they can all come in at certain hours. There can be drop-off points for taxis. On Old Bailey Street, you can have a drop-off pickup point for taxis, so people can be dropped off easily, or people can come up or down the escalator.
Mm. Because, you know, the present trend in Hong Kong is just building a mega shopping mall. You know, I think the recent example is the Element. You know, I just went there recently with my brother. We went just there for a movie, and you notice that. You know, right outside the mall, there's nothing but just freeways, just you know, crisscrossing the surrounding the whole mall. So, no wonder they say the mall is not doing business, you know, at all. Because, I mean, what do you do? You either go to the mall and there's nothing, you know, in the surrounding area. So we need these adjoining spaces where people can just kind of naturally walk around and go through it. So this is the kind of trend that we need to kind of watch out for, because most of the time, you know, people in Hong Kong now, the only entertainment they have is go to the mall, do the shopping, eating, and go to the movie. And that's it, you know, so different from the time when we grew up in Hong Kong.
Well, actually, I just think, okay, in the Kowloon Station, I just think, okay, something that is, okay, that's oversupplied. You know, those shopping malls in the Kowloon Station, it's actually, I don't know whether there's anyone who are interested in walking there and then going there and then to to shop there.
Yeah.
So that's why I think sometimes the Hong Kong marketers, they're just predicting something that is unexpectedly. Just get something that's not within the expectation,
We've always been talking about, you know, all the development, cultural development geared towards the real estate development. I mean, that's what, you know, is so obvious to most people.
Francis, fortunately, because you don't have wife and you don't have girlfriends, they all love shopping.
Hey, I object.
Well, but actually,
they only complain there's not enough shopping places for them.
Well, to understand the phenomenon, I repeat their website, www.thestoryofstuff.com. Just watch it and then you will see why this phenomenon happened. We've all been brainwashed. We've all been, you know.
Yeah, I think if Soho is could be pedestrianized, like for example, a Sunday farmers market in the morning, from 9, maybe from 8 o'clock to until noon, open in that area could be really something special for Hong Kong, because it will recover like a lot of old handicraft works.
Yes.
Like, you know, a lot of mid-aged people now in Hong Kong, they have good handicraft skills like woodworking and sewing, engraving, yes. And if they could sell like their stuff in the market where people would spend money to buy, which the Soho area would be a good market for it, yes.
I've seen that, you know, this street store temporary setup, I think right in that in their area. The streets were narrow, but you don't need a lot of space to do that. But even for street performers, I mean, are they feasible, this area?
Very feasible.
Mm.
Very feasible. It'll add a lot of culture, arts, crafts. It can all happen. And when something happens organically, it means it grows naturally according to laws of nature. There is only harmony there, and there's beautiful synergies. And I've been working and living in the Soho area for the last 5 years, and I'm seeing this develop more and more. There's a beautiful synergy. It's kind of a natural growth, if you like. And it will follow suit that street performers can come in and, you know, have some street theater, which will entertain people, entertain families. Soho could become a very family-orientated place where you'd bring the kids and maybe the mothers-in-law, the grandparents, and you can sit there, you can eat, you can walk around, you can be entertained by street theater.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's just very close to other historical places in the area, like the Manmohe Temple on Hollywood Road and the Cat Street Market. You've got the Graham Street Market, a lot of markets in the area, old buildings, and it's just a stone's throw away down to Victoria Harbour. So in my opinion, I feel Hong Kong could really do with a downtown area, Hong Kong side, Hong Kong Island.
But that Soho area will at least serve the people in the mid-level, right? As far as I know, if you go up further, then nothing. It's just narrow streets,
yes.
You know, essential roads to
yes.
serve the residents there.
Mm.
So Soho will serve that purpose, you know, on weekend or even weekday, you know, people can just gather in the area for entertainment, for eat, you know.
Yes.
But I'm sorry to disappoint you that every plan that what we are thinking that is feasible, okay, that are feasible, okay, they are just thinking, okay, the government officials, they are just thinking they are not feasible, okay. For example, they have to, because they have to entertain those, okay, those tycoons, they have to entertain a lot of, they have to entertain a lot of persons, okay, that may not be relevant, but, okay, because they have to entertain them, they are just rating these kind of proposals, okay, we are just raising as not feasible. That's what the problem is. Okay.
Now, with the Soho, you know, Bob was saying that it just evolved organically, right? I mean, that means, you know, he hasn't really encountered any strong opposition, as far as I know, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just something that's happening already. So it's not like a new development project that someone wants to impose on it and develop it from scratch. What Bob is saying that is already happening. So why not just facilitate that further and just turn it into a pedestrian area? That's all. I mean,
okay.
That's what that is the
fundamental difference. It's like taking a shopping mall and building it on a desert island, and you wonder why it hasn't been successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you'll have to build infrastructure and trains. And
right.
But in Soho, in this particular case, and this is why I champion this idea, because it's already started to happen. It's already growing organically in that direction. So it requires minimum investments, minimum infrastructural work.
I'm sorry, I'm not pouring any cold water. I don't want to pour any cold water on it.
Mm.
But the problem is, those government officials are really so stubborn, okay? They really don't, okay, focus on the matter that they want to, okay, that they want to improve the things. But what they are wanting is to entertain every different parties that we are not expecting. That's the problem. Okay, I think the problem for the government is so serious.
Okay,
anyway.
We'll
go
into
it.
The opposition that if any that we're going to look into that after a short break.